I'm so glad God loves you and me. I'm glad that he died for me, that I may have eternal life. You know, so many people, seems like, they try to accuse God and say, how can a loving God send someone to hell? Well, God does not send anyone to hell. He only honors your decision. See, if God wanted to choose to save some and send others to hell, then his son would have not died for the sins of the world. You see, God said in John 3:16, God loved the world and gave his only begotten son, and whosoever, anyone ever born in this world, can go to heaven when they die by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're listening this morning, if you reject Christ, God doesn't send you to hell. He only honors and allows you to spend eternity in the place of your choice. You have chosen hell, and God will honor your decision. You'll live by it or you'll die by it. But don't accuse God of choosing to send you to hell, because he loved the world, and that includes you, that you can have everlasting life. It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at this same time, and we count it a privilege to spend this half hour with you and come into your homes. We hope that you have your Bibles ready as we continue our survey through the Gospel of John. We are now continuing over here to the last part of chapter 8. We would like for you to turn in your Bibles now to John chapter 8 as we continue our Bible study. If you recall last week, the whole chapter of John chapter 8, as it was all through the Gospel of John, the main central point of the teaching of the Lord Jesus is that he is the Messiah. He's the long-awaited promised Messiah to the nation of Israel. And yet when he came unto his own received him not. And they rejected him. They would not accept the fact that he was their Messiah, their Savior. Now, I would like to call your attention to something. We usually think that those that deny the Lord Jesus are the drunkards, they are the thieves, they are the murderers, they are the robbers, and they are some of the most defiled people up on the face of the earth. It is true that those reject Christ, but the ones that the Lord Jesus came in contact with were not these type of people. They were religious people. They were the people like you would see going to church every day today. Yet, they were centered in their own self-righteousness. This is the devil's counterfeit of religion, to counterfeit Christianity. You see, Christianity is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, just as Israel was to accept the Messiah as their Savior as a nation. But we find out they rejected the Lord Jesus because of their own self-righteousness. They did not believe that he was God in human flesh. He was not just a good man. He was a perfect man, yet he was perfect God combined into the perfect person, God manifested, made known in human flesh. And then he levied this accusation against the Jewish people and the scribes and the Pharisees especially. Now these were the leaders, not just the ordinary folk. And they were the ones to lead the people. They should have directed the people that this was the Messiah. But he levied this accusation in verse 24 of the 8th chapter. And let us read it together. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, we call your attention to the word he. It is in parenthesis or in italicized, and we find that all italicized words are supplied by the translators and are not found in the originals. So what he is saying is simply this. If you believe not that I am, and the I am is saying, I am the same name that God had told Moses to tell the people he was sent by. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, he said, Moses, tell them that my name is I am. Tell them that I am has sent you. And the Lord Jesus is telling these scribes and Pharisees, if you believe not that I am, other words, I am God in human flesh, then you shall die in your sins. Now, you know every religion centers around this. It is a works righteousness. And when the Lord Jesus came unto them, he said, what think ye of Christ? And your salvation, whether you go to heaven or hell, depends upon what you think of Christ. Is he just a good man? Every cult religion will tell you Christ is a good man. Many of the Jews will label him as a wonderful teacher and a tremendous leader. But the question comes in, how can he be a tremendous leader and how can he be a great teacher when he taught that he is God in human flesh? and then turn right around and say he's a great teacher and deny his teachings is sort of confusion, not only to other people, but to the one making the statement. If he is a great teacher, he cannot be a great teacher and be a liar. He either has to be stating the truth or he would be a false teacher. And yet you see how contradictory this kind of philosophy is. No, Christ said to these leaders, he said, I am. And he said, if you believe not that I am God in human flesh, you will die in your sins. And you listening this morning, it's not a factor of you being, in fact, I get so fed up with this as a pastor, I hear it, well, I'm a Baptist. Well, whoopee-doo, I really could care less if you're a Baptist. Well, I'm a Roman Catholic. Well, if you want to know the truth, being a Roman Catholic wouldn't take you even one step toward heaven. Well, I'm a Lutheran, or I'm a Presbyterian. And people have been so indoctrinated with this fighting for a denomination, they fail to realize that even some that carry their own brand are not preaching the Bible. There are Baptist churches I wouldn't send a dog to. There are some good Lutheran churches. There are some bad Lutheran churches. Depends on which one belongs to the Missouri Synod. Depends upon the pastor. There are some tremendous Presbyterian churches that preach the Bible, and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference if you were in a Baptist church or a good fundamental Lutheran church. And yet there are some Presbyterian churches that don't preach the Bible anymore. And it depends not upon fighting for a name, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a this, or I'm a that. The point is, what do you think of Christ? It's not belonging to this organization. It's not going to church that gives you eternal life. Eternal life is in a person. And he told them, now these were religious people. These were not the down and outers. These were not the drunkards. These were not the thieves. These were not the murderers. These were not the liars. These were the people and the scribes and the Pharisees who were the leaders. These were the leaders in the church. These were the ones that went into the temple. These were the exponents of the law. And these were the leaders, not the down and outers. And he told them, you will die in your sins if you believe not that I am. And I might ask you this morning, do you believe Christ is your Savior? Have you accepted him as your personal Savior? Or do you believe he was just a good man the Bible speaks about? And if you have that kind of philosophy, you also will die in your sins. You must believe. Just saying, I believe in God or I believe in Jesus never gives anyone eternal life. Do you understand what he did, who he is, what he accomplished? It was God himself. God is a spirit. And if you have seen me, Christ says, you have seen the Father. In other words, God himself in perfect spirit, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But he took on human flesh through the virgin birth. And therefore, he was made manifest unto us, and he died on the cross to pay for our sins as only a sinless person can do. And the Lord Jesus did that. And then he levied this statement, I say therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. And the same accusation is for you and I today. What do you think of Jesus Christ? Is he just a good man? Well, if he is, in your estimation, in your philosophy, you will also die in your sins. But if you realize that he is the sin bearer, he is the one that died for you, then Jesus Christ said, you're passed from death unto everlasting life. And that's the difference between believing about Jesus and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing about him is to just estimate he was a good, tremendous leader, a wonderful teacher. And that doesn't save you or give you eternal life. But when you acknowledge and put your faith in him, it's because that he came into this earth to die to pay for your sins and to pay for my sins. He is my Savior. He didn't come here to be just a leader. He came here to accomplish the fact that sin had a debt and it had to be paid for. And I put my faith in Jesus Christ, accepting him as the one who died on the cross and made that payment for me. I choose rather to accept Christ as my Savior rather than go to hell and pay for my sin for all time and eternity. Now, when he had told them that, it so enraged them that they got in another confrontation concerning slavery and freedom. Now, let's read on down, and this is found between verses 31 and 40. Let us begin here in verse 30, if you will. And he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, And then are you my disciples indeed? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then answered him, We believe Abraham's seed, or we be of Abraham's seed, and we never were in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? See, they misunderstood the spiritual with the physical. Jesus answered them, he said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now you see, the Jews who believed in verse 30, they were cautioned to prove their faith by their faithfulness. You see, faith in Christ makes one a child of God, but abiding in the Word and knowing the truth and living it makes one a disciple. Christ is speaking here about spiritual bondage and liberty, not physical or political. You see, the lost sinner is in bondage of the lust and sins, and we find this in Titus 3:3. But he's bound in his lust and his sins to Satan and to the world. By receiving the truth in Christ, he is then set free. His opponents, of course, appealed to their fleshly advantages. They said this, We are of Abraham's children. That's like people saying today, Well, my mother and dad are Christians. And they said the same thing to John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Let's take just a second and go over there. Matthew chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. They said the same thing to John the Baptist. Notice, if you will. He said, Bring forth therefore fruits met for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We are Abraham, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. He said, don't say just because you're of the flesh of Abraham that that's going to do you any good. And then he says, you're really as hard as stone. But God is able, if you'll trust Christ, to take these stones and raise up spiritual children to Abraham by faith in the Lord Jesus. Because you see, Abraham seen the day of Christ and rejoiced in it, and we'll see that here in just a few minutes. Now, we find out here, people go to hell because they confuse the physical and the spiritual. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about a spiritual birth, and he asked about a physical birth. Christ offered the woman at the well eternal life, that's living water, and she talked about literal physical water. You see, in chapter 6, verse 63, the Bible tells us the flesh profiteth nothing. And we find that salvation is a spiritual acceptance of Christ. And the human birth has absolutely nothing to do with it. Now we come to an interesting confrontation. And you begin to see now the foundation of why they wanted to kill the Lord Jesus. We find the contrast between the children of God and the children of Satan. Now let's read it here, if you will, beginning with verse 39 on down to verse 47, and you'll see through this confrontation why they wanted to crucify the Lord Jesus. Now, you know, people today do not really want the truth. You know what they'll say? Well, what about this or what about that? And do you know something? You'll find that's the reason a lot of the modernistic churches are getting filled up, and your independent fundamental churches are not growing as fast. You know why? We're in a time before the rapture of the church when really, honestly, people do not want the truth. They want to come and have their conscience seared. They want to come and have something sort of melancholy and a nice story and an entertainment program and some sort of sideshow on Sunday morning and be entertained, and then they'll go. Or so many prizes to give out, they will go. But when it comes to hear the Word of God and see what God has for them, to see if there's anything the Holy Spirit is going to convict them in their lives, then the majority of people don't really want that today. They've been so made over, they've been so lied to through the philosophy of this world down the last 15, 20 years. I honestly, it's hard for people to even tell the true from the false through the media, the radio, the television, and the propaganda that is put out in the news media today. Is it any wonder? The television, the soap operas, the counterfeit of true life. It's almost unbelievable. Even the commercials. We were looking the other night, listening to the news, and on came a commercial. And it was so phony that it's almost repudiating anymore to see these sort of things. Everything is made up. Nothing is represents really real life. And yet we bought it, line, hook, and sinker. It's hard for people to comprehend the truth from the era. Not many people really want the truth. in the day we're living in today. But it's just a sign of the times. Now, let's read here, if you will, beginning with verse 39. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. See, they were relying upon their heritage now for eternal life. And Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do the works of Abraham. You know, it's like a person today when you say, you know, I believe in God. Well, if you do, then you sit down with them and say, here's what God says. Well, I don't believe that. Now, I don't believe that. Well, what God's saying to them is the same thing he said to the scribes and the Pharisees. If you really believe in me, then you will believe in what I say. You can't say, I believe God, and then deny the Bible. Now, the two, God says, that you're just not honest with yourself. You're just making a lie out of yourself. You're not deceiving me, and probably not anybody else around. You're deceiving yourself. In fact, the Lord tells us in Titus that a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject him. In other words, after you've told him the truth twice, don't continue to argue with him, because they are those that oppose themselves and condemn themselves, the next verse says. They actually bring the condemnation upon themselves. Nothing you can do with a person after you've given them the truth, and God says you give them to them the second time, then they just want to argue. There isn't anything you can do. Then don't take your pearls and throw them before the swine. Take them where the precious word of God, where there are people who want to hear. But let's go on down. He said in verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. And they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. And they accused Christ of being born of fornication and of a illicit relationship between Mary and Joseph. What a accusation. Of course, denying the virgin birth. And he said, for we have one Father, even God. Now, these were religious people that said, we have a Father, we believe that God is our Father, just like the universalists today. They say, you know, yes, God is the Father of everyone. No, he isn't. No, he isn't. That's not what the Bible teaches. But these people here who denied Christ claimed that we have a God, we believe in God, just like the people today. But they were lost. They were children of Satan. They were children of wrath. They were not the children of God. Let's read on down. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. Why do you not believe me? Why do you not love me? I came to die for the sins of the world. If you say you love the Father, then you will love me. In fact, if we back up just a second in the 8th chapter here in verse 19, it says, you neither know me nor my Father. For if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Now let me say this. When you talk to people, and as a pastor we talk to many, many people about the Lord, many of them trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. There are others who say, oh, I believe in a God. But will you accept the Lord Jesus? Do you believe that he died for you to pay for your... No. Now, don't give me that. Now you're getting a little bit too personal, Pastor. Now we don't want to get into that. Well, what the person really is saying, and God condemns them, not me. He says that person really does not want to know the truth. They say they acknowledge the Father, but they're a liar. They're not telling the truth, because if they had known the Father, they would have known the Son. And if they truly love the Father, they would truly love the Son. How in the world can you deny and say you love the Father and then find out that Jesus Christ died for you when you used his name in vain, when you were against him, when you did everything reputing against Christ, and he still loved us while we were a sinner, and then turn around and reject that kind of love and say that God doesn't love you, or say that he didn't die for you? How in the world can you do that and yet say, God, I love you, but I deny Christ? Well, God says that person's just a plain liar. They're not even honest with themselves. And he goes on down to say here, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil. No wonder this enraged them. These were religious people. Do you know what? You take religious people, and we tell our folks, our church here, to do this, and they've done it. Some of our folks have done it. You get on the phone and call the preachers. Get on the phone and look in the yellow pages. Get all the churches and call the preachers and ask them one question. How in the world do you go to heaven when you die? And see and write down the answer they give you and the verse in the Bible that they tell you how you can go to heaven. And we've had some people from our church do it and absolutely shocked. Anywhere from joining our church, from keeping the commandments, from worshiping this, from praying to Mary, from one thing or another, all kind of conglomerations of how to get to heaven. And yet Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through the Son. And very few times will you find that church represented by the pastor or the deacons or the elders will give you a very simple answer: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, if you're listening this morning, this might be a little challenge to you to do it. You know, we've got in a sort of a melancholy state of thinking everyone that names the name of Christ, everyone that goes to church every Sunday is saved, and there couldn't be anything further from the truth. But now notice, if you will, in verse 44, he said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. And then he goes down to verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God's. Now you know something? Here is something to separate the true from the false. When you take a person that says, I love the Lord, and then you open the Bible to them and they will not believe what the Bible says, it is proof they are a child of the devil, not a child of God. Now, if you want to do something interesting, and we put this out only as a challenge to you, you take the phone book next week and go down through the yellow pages and call every pastor of various denominations of churches and ask them one question. Tell me, real simply, how can I know that I'm going to heaven when I die? And write down the various answers you get. You'll get the shock of your life. But in conclusion, let me say this. Our time is slipping away this morning. We need to keep in mind, as we read this portion of Scripture here, the Bible speaks of four different kinds of spiritual children. We'll not have time to elaborate upon them, but let me just give them to you. Number one, we are born by nature the children of wrath. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. When we reach the age of deliberate sin and rebellion, we become the children of disobedience. Number two, that's Ephesians 2, 2. But when we put our faith in Christ, this is the third type of a child, we become the children of God. John 1, 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God. But the person, and this is number four, who finally rejects Christ and prefers self-righteousness, that's the devil's substitute, becomes a child of the devil. And let me ask you this morning, where do you stand? Are you religious but lost? Or will you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and not accept the devil's substitute of being religious and self-righteous, but accept God's gift as payment for your sin by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? As many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God. I pray you'll be a child of God and have everlasting life. Been so good to spend this time with you. We hope you'll take a second, sit down, and drop us a line, a letter, let us know that you're listening.